with regard to this whole situation of Arabs are very hard, they don't want peace. The Palestinians don't want peace. And he said, take an example of a person who has a chicken. And after having a chicken, they have given birth to small chicks. This one chicken has given birth. And you have 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 chicks. And thereafter, one person comes, a neighbor comes one day, and he takes away all your chicks. And he takes away the chicken and takes away the chicks. And he takes it into his yard. The next day, he takes out his hand from across the backyard and said, shake my hand. Would that particular neighbor, despite the fact that he's only had chicken and chicks that has been taken away by the neighbor, will he give him his hand? He will say, give me back my chicken before you shake my hand. But he say, that will be a very logical argument for anyone. But he say that today the Israelis have taken away the land. They have taken their homes. They have taken away the vineyards. They have taken away the olive trees. They have taken away everything from Palestine. And the world says, why are the Palestinians so stubborn? Why don't they agree to peace? Yes, they will agree to peace. First, give them back their land. First, give them back what they are right for. Everyone today talks about, and that also, out of that 22%, 20% have been taken by the new settlements, which have been given to the settlers who have come from various parts of the world. This is the injustice of what is actually happening. In every moral way, you can say it is a clear-cut injustice from every way. That is the reason why, whenever you want to speak to them with regard to history, they never want to speak about history. They are very afraid to discuss history, and you have to engage them on history. Because they don't like to talk about, very good to talk about peace. We will have peace, peace in the land, etc. But what about the land that you have taken? But if a person has usurped the rights of another person, he won't want to talk about justice. Because he is enjoying the status quo. He has taken your land. He has taken away your wealth. Why must he talk about justice? Why? He will talk about peace because it suits him to talk about it because the status quo favors him. They don't like to talk about justice. They don't like to talk about history. And the way someone made a comment today is that talking about the Palestinian situation without history is like telling an abused woman, don't remember your abuse. Don't talk about your abuse. Just talk about the future. This is a situation with regard to it. The whole lies with regard to lies and deception. And then another particular very, very, you know, dubious way in which they have done things is through the means of provocation. And Israel has been a master in that. In 1982, the then Israeli Prime Minister went to America, you know, to get blessings to invade Lebanon because the PLO were in Beirut at that time. So at that time, the Secretary of State of America told them, don't go into Lebanon and don't invade Lebanon. First, create a provocation. First, create something that makes it necessary for you to go. First, create a provocation. So they couldn't get a provocation. And how the provocation came, one of the groups that were fighting, and wallahu alam, I don't know how these groups fight and for what reason and motive, Allah Ta'ala knows. So one of the groups was Abu Nidal group. So the Abu Nidal group killed the Israeli ambassador in London. The people of Lebanon and the PLO had nothing to do with that. But there was a provocation required and they invaded Lebanon. And for many, many years, they occupied Lebanon or portion of Lebanon and they killed 20,000 people of Lebanon. Created a provocation. And this is the reason why I'm coming now back with regard to the provocation. Is even in this whole particular situation. Now, you know, people talk about peace, but can peace be achieved without justice? Palestinians on the land have been hearing for many, many years from the Western world, from some of the Arab governments, sometimes from their own Fatah movement, that there is peace, there's a Madrid peace agreement, there's an Oslo agreement, there is disagreement, but they saw no difference in their day-to-day living. They still had to face the checkpoints, they still had to face the humiliation, they had to face all these type of difficulties. Now when they saw that despite all the fanfare of peace, there is no effect of the peace upon our life, that's the time when they turned away from Fatah. That's the time when they turned away from Fatah and they voted Hamas. Right? Because they were tired of the slogans of peace without any change upon their life. They were tired also that when the Palestinian Authority took over some of these lands, the lands of West Bank and Gaza, instead of, you know, changing the land, many of those people who were in authority, they turned against their very own people. So there's a time when they elected Hamas. And Hamas came as a breath of fresh air for the people of Palestine. Because they were able to serve the people, they were able to talk the language of the people, they started appealing to the instincts of people. They were not prepared. They were prepared to negotiate. But they said that we are not going to compromise. We will negotiate.